Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, Should Christians Watch the Chosen?
Thank you, God, for being with us today, and may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. All right, today, let's take a look together at a TV series. Heard a sermon on a TV series lately? We're going to take a look together at The Chosen, and I thought this would be a very important subject for us to take a look at as a congregation, because, you know, a lot of people have watched this. A lot of Christians watch and love the show, and in fact, there's, I believe, about 600 million people across the world that have watched The Chosen. Wow. And so it's really big. It's the biggest phenomenon, biblically speaking, in film, basically, ever. It's watched all across the world. And we want to take a look at this together. It's been around since 2017. They had a little glitch during the 2020 crisis time in production. But they've come out with four seasons so far, and let's take a look together today. It's a portrayal of Jesus and the disciples. The key question we want to take a look at today is this question, is should Christians watch The Chosen? Is that something good for us, for our faith? Is it going to be helpful or harmful? I know there's a lot of opinions out there on that, but let's take a look today by the scriptures and see what we might learn as we look at and evaluate, should Christians be watching The Chosen in order to bolster, increase, or help our faith, or could that actually potentially be harmful and dangerous for us? Because you know what, when you watch a TV show, unlike a sermon or something you hear, hearing can come and go. You can forget what you hear, but you can't forget what you see. You can't unsee what you see. If you see something, you see Jesus acting in a certain way on the big screen, every time you read the Bible after that, you are going to see usually that scene. So it's very important we watch what we see. So let's take a look. Should Christians watch The Chosen? And I'm not against, by the way, film with Jesus. We've watched the Gospel of John at other times, and I think that's a great one, really, because it just goes verse by verse by verse through the Gospel of John. I think it's a pretty good portrayal of Christ. Let's take a look today at The Chosen. Should Christians watch The Chosen? So, again, what is the show about? It's presenting to you, like a sermon, it is really a sermon, preaching to you Jesus, his story, and that of the disciples. And here's this guy, you know him, he's Dallas Jenkins. He is the creator of the show. He is also its director, and he's also a co-writer of the show, The Chosen. And he has said what his aim is. What is the aim of The Chosen according to its creator? He has said, and I'll quote, "We want to reach 1 billion people with the authentic Jesus." In other words, he's very much about, we want to give you the real deal, the real Jesus, the true Jesus, over against all the fake ones that there are. We're going to give you the authentic, real Jesus. We're going to reach the world, 1 billion people, with the authentic Jesus. So next question have is, do you think that's a right aim? Does that sound good to you? Yeah, I mean, every preacher wants to do that. It's like you're this guy shooting your arrow at a target. I mean, if you're wanting to preach the true, authentic Jesus, you're really aiming at the center of the target. Why? And that's my aim, is to present to you every week the authentic Jesus with my word, the Jesus of Scripture. The reason it's a great one, the aim of every true preacher, the Apostle Paul said, let's look at it, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 23, he says, "But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles." The whole purpose of every true preacher is to present to you the authentic, real, true Jesus of the Scriptures. So, why is that important for us? To preach the true, authentic Jesus and to give you nothing but the truth, the true one. Answer, simple, because we're only saved, friends, you know, by faith in the true Jesus, in the real Jesus, right? You can't be saved by trust in a fake, unauthentic, not real Jesus, some mirage out there in the desert, but only by the true one. The Bible says, again, Romans 10, verse 13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And to hear the authentic Jesus, Paul says in Romans 10, you've got to have a preacher. Deliver it to you, portray, deliver him to you in words, that you might hear him, know him through the words, believe in him, and be saved, and inherit, and have as your destiny the eternal kingdom. So you can't be saved by faith in a false one. And Jesus also gave us this warning, which we read a few moments ago in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 24. He says, beware, though, at the end of the world and through the days after I ascend, because false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Even God's chosen could fall sway to the various seductions and delusions of the last days. So we've got to make sure then we have the true Jesus. So there's a lot of them out there these days. So let's take a look with that in mind. How about the chosen's Jesus? What can we say about this one? Let's evaluate him, real or fake. You know, I've said some movies do have a pretty good portrayal of him, like the Gospel of John I liked. What do we say about this one? That's the chosen Jesus right here. Well, first thing I'd say about it is he certainly looks the part, doesn't he? I mean, really, good-looking guy, and he looks like you'd expect from the Renaissance paintings, at least the later renditions, which I don't think are really real, but he looks like the portrayals of Jesus you've seen over time. But let's take a look and evaluate it. We got to investigate this thing, because it's very important. You know, we're talking about letting preachers preach to you. This TV show is a preacher. Would you let him in the pulpit? Let's take a look and see. So I thought, let's investigate, or I'll investigate. You know, this week I've watched 5 episodes of The Chosen, 3 different seasons of them. There are 4 seasons. I've watched 3 of them. So I thought, let me give it a fair shake, because I watched some of these commentators on YouTube picking on The Chosen, and they pick on the show never having watched it. And I'm like, well, John 7, Gamaliel says, does our law judge a man without first giving him a hearing and learning what he does? So I'm like, let me give him a hearing. Give him a hearing, this show. Let's learn what they say, and then we'll make an evaluation of it. Let's give it a fair shake. Sounds reasonable, right? So I took a look at this. Did I see any red flags? Did I see any red alerts? Were there any alarms or sirens going off when I watched this show? Are they presenting to you and to me the authentic Jesus of Scripture? Or is this another counterfeit one that we wouldn't want to let into our minds and especially our eyes as we read? Well, let's see what my thought was on that one so far. As I watched the show, and I know a lot of people love this show, okay? And I know a lot of people have an affection toward it, and I understand, and he's a very winsome kind of guy, this show, but as I watched it, biblically speaking, holding my Bible here in my mind, and watching the show, I saw a lot of red flags. Warning, warning, danger, Dr. Smith. Be careful about this show. Be careful, little ears, what you hear, and little eyes, what you see. Why? Well, as you watch The Chosen, one of them that I watched, you'll meet this guy. Who's that? That's John the Baptist. Who do they present John the Baptist as in Jesus' story in The Chosen? Well, Simon Peter calls him Creepy John. And why? Well, he's weird, number one. But also, as Jesus and the apostles are walking down a path one day, the disciples, John jumps out from behind. Ha! And tries to scare them. I'm like, I don't see that in Scripture. He's trying to scare Jesus and the disciples. That's weird. Then he gets into an argument with Jesus, and Jesus gets into an argument with him. Does that sound like the Bible? Jesus tries to convince him not to go to John and preach repentance because it'll be dangerous for him. John's like, hey, I'm a radical. I love it. I love to stir things up. You know what? As I watch this, John does, like one of those radical liberal Christians. In fact, Jesus had healed a man at the well, and John was super excited about that. Not that he healed the man, but that the Pharisees were ticked off. He loves to stir up and give offense to the ruling class. That's what he's about. He's a social justice warrior. This John, Jesus says, hey, your messages are pretty hot. You got to tone them down, basically. John says, I love to stir people up. And Jesus says, I heard about that brood of vipers comment. And Jesus says, classy. And John says, I thought it was a great lie. Is that the John I want to ask you of the scriptures? You know, if you watch this show, every time you read about John in the future, you're going to see his face. You're going to remember that story. Is that what you want to read into the scriptures when you're reading your Bible afterwards? A social justice warrior. Is that the authentic John, and is that the authentic Jesus? You know what? According to the scriptures, Jesus and John are on the same team. John actually teases Jesus and says, that's because I've known you since we were kids together. That's why I feel okay with teasing you. Is that the John of scriptures? The John of the scriptures says, I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie this man's thongs of his sandals. In the scriptures, they're on the same team. Here, they're arguing. So what's Dallas Jenkins? Remember, he's the creator, he's the director, he's the co-writer of the show. What's he say about that liberty he's taking in imagining different stories about John and Jesus than are in the Bible? He basically says it's just artistic license. You know, I can say these things, I can imagine these things. I watched one video conversation on Jenkins, and he was saying, you know, the Roman Catholics, he loves them because they can read the scriptures and imagine things from it. He says the evangelicals, they are distrustful. They don't believe and trust their imaginations. All they say is the text, the text, the text. That's the creator of The Chosen. He says all the evangelicals say it's the word, the word, the word, scripture, scripture, scripture. He wants to go with the Catholics where he can be free to imagine all kinds of things. Is that the kind of preaching I should be doing with you on Sundays? I'm free to imagine and tell you all kinds of stories out of my own mind? Vain imaginings? Or do you want the word, the word, the word? Remember, the Bible says that the war that we're in, remember the devil said, did God really say? The war has always been about the word, the word, the word. Anybody that comes and says, there's an artistic license here, I'm just going to change a little word here and there or add things, you've got to be on guard there, friends. Because he says, I'm going to give you the gist of Jesus, though. I'm still giving you the authentic Jesus. With my own stories, I'll give you the real deal, the real guy. You trust that? What other things does Jenkins say? Does he stop with Jesus and John? Well, he goes on and teaches you about the disciples, James the Lesser. If you've seen the show, little James, they make him lame. Does the Bible say that James is lame? No. But Jenkins says, no, he's lean. He can't walk very well. He asked Jesus at one point in the story, and I thought it was actually quite touching. Oh, why can't I be healed? Why won't you heal me? And Jesus says in his somewhat Middle Eastern, I guess, accent, he's like, because I trust you. Because if you are unhealed, you will have such a greater story than if I healed you. Imagine a lame man healing others. What a great story you will have. Now, that was very touching to me. It tugs at the heartstrings. It kind of sounds like a nice message. I get that. But what's the problem, friends? It ain't in the Bible. Jesus never said that. What are they doing in this case? They are adding to Jesus' words. What's God say to us in the Bible about adding to the Bible or subtracting from it? He says in Proverbs 30, verse 6, he says, add you not to his words, lest he reprove you and you be found a liar. If you add to Jesus' words with artistic license, God's judgment is you're lying. You're not telling the truth. You're adding to my words. You've got to be careful there. And you've got to be careful about subtracting from his words too. Remember Revelation 22 says if you add to God's words, God says, I'm going to add to you all the plagues described in this book. And if you take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, I'm going to take away your right to the tree of life and the holy city described in this book. You will not inherit the kingdom. So are we free for an artistic license with Jesus? I'm okay, friends, with artistic license in movies. If you want to make a movie on Braveheart with William Wallace or Genghis Khan, okay, have at it. But you're not to play around with Jesus, because the word is fire. This is the King. This is the one through whom all things were made. Got to be very careful there. Nathaniel, if you watched The Chosen, you'll learn that he is a failed architect. Really? I don't remember that in the Bible. And then he gets drunk on hard liquor to drown his sorrows. The next day he has a hangover, and Philip comes and calls him to Jesus. And Nathaniel, as he's walking there with a hangover to Jesus, Jesus says, "Behold an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile." Really? No, I mean, actually, I don't even think he says that, but that's what the Bible says. He was not a drunkard, nor was he a failed architect. Beware that one. Matthew and The Chosen, they make into an autistic boy, and again, very heart, tugs at your heart strings. He's awkward. He's a little weird, autistic, but that's not in the Bible. And then when Jesus is going to preach the Sermon on the Mount, have you seen this one? Jesus is trying to come up with a sermon, and he can't. He's struggling with it. He's like, "I don't really know how to speak this." He talks with Matthew, and Matthew says, "You shouldn't start with salt. Start on something else." And Jesus is like, "Oh, thank you very much. I will take your advice. Thank you." Is that really true? Do you think Jesus, the Word through whom these mountains in the distance and everything was made, needs someone, an autistic boy, to teach him how to preach the Sermon on the Mount? Is that what you want to let into your minds, is my question. You know, it's very heartfelt, I get it, but it's not true. It's a lie. And actually, when Jesus preaches the Sermon on the Mount, do you know how he got all the crowds? Well, the disciples put out flyers. That's how he got all the crowds there, because they had flyers. When Jesus is about to preach the Sermon on the Mount, he tells Mary, his mother, "I'm afraid I'm going to mess up." Really? Is that the Jesus you want to let into your heart? A Jesus afraid of preaching to the people that he might mess up before them? Then as he's preparing, he gets annoyed because the women come and say, "You can't go like that." He's like, "What do you mean?" And they want to redress him and make him look better. And he doesn't even know how to dress himself, okay? And then he says at one point to a disciple, "Come over here. We need a tiebreaker to see if I'm going to wear a blue sash or a red one." Friends, that's not the Jesus of Scripture, I'm telling you. We need to be very careful about accepting that Christ. Simon Peter, good-looking guy, right? Wish I had that nice long hair. He looks good-looking guy. But they make him to be a drunkard, previously at least, a brawler. He's a gambler. He's had potentially an adultery on his wife. And he argues with his wife, and she, here in this scene, says, "When you came back with Jesus, you just wanted to hang out with him and your friends. You didn't even ask me about how I was." And they have a big troubled marriage, and she has a miscarriage and all these things. Friends, what's the problem again? It ain't the Bible. There's nothing in there that has anything to say about that. It's a lie. We got to be careful about lies, because when you read the Bible, you're going to picture that Simon Peter. Mary Magdalene, she has a very touching story. It'll really draw you in. But on the other hand, in her story, they have her fall back into sin after Jesus saves her, and Peter and Matthew have to go through the streets of Jerusalem for an entire episode to find her, and they eventually find her in her sin, and she vomits all over the streets of Jerusalem from her drunkenness, because she's had a hangover also. Is that the Jesus, is that the Mary that the Bible presents to us? One more, we got Simon the Zealot. He's kind of interesting, because who do they make him out to be, based especially on what we hear last night? He's an assassin. He's a murderer, just like the guy we heard about last night with President Trump. It's funny, I was watching this show. He actually does karate. I think kung fu, maybe. He practices tai chi. You see him in the morning doing these various moves. I'm like, really? That was in ancient Israel? He was a karate kung fu master, tai chi guy, an assassin? He goes to try to kill a Roman magistrate. He's basically a ninja, more or less. And Jesus heals this guy at the well, or the pool, I mean. And this guy they make into Simon the Zealot's brother, which has nothing to do with the Bible. And Jesus says, "The reason I healed the man at the pool, how else could I get your attention?" Friends, that's not why Jesus healed the man at the pool. You don't want to let that kind of stuff into your mind. So they create many extra-biblical characters. They weave them into the story, like this guy Dominus, who's a crazy Roman. Rhema, this girl, she's the hottie of Thomas, I think. He has the hots for her, but she gets stabbed by Dominus, and Thomas is all distraught about that. But don't worry, because the secret police are there, Atticus, to make everything eventually, I guess, right again or wrong. I don't know. Do you remember reading about the secret police in the Bible? No. Or any of these people? No. So these stories, friends, I don't want to hurt hearts, but I do want to direct hearts. Look, these stories of Jesus and the disciples are just unbiblical. They're even contrary to the truth. We've got to be careful about anything that's another Jesus, that's not of the scriptures that God has prepared for us. The Holy Spirit wrote that book. So the big red flag here, I would say, it says don't go swimming in these waters. There are riptides here that want to draw you out to sea. There are sharks in these waters, as we can see so far. Any other red flags? A few more here. We've got The Chosen has a connection, did you know, with Mormons. They're going to present, to some degree, a Mormon Jesus to you because, let's take a look here. It's shot by Angel Studios, which is a Mormon, it has been shot by Angel Studios, which is a Mormon, devout Mormon film agency or company. And in the series, Jesus at one point says, "I am the law of Moses." Pretty offensive. It sounds like something Jesus might say, but where do you find "I am the law of Moses"? That's not in the Bible. That comes out of the Book of Mormon, friends. Second Nephi in the Book of Mormon. They're quoting the Book of Mormon to you in this Jesus. Is that the Jesus you want to let in? Jenkins says Christians and Mormons worship the same Jesus. In other words, the one he's presenting to you is the same one who says you're going to become your own gods and rule over your own universes if you're good Mormons. So another connection we have to be on guard against is LGBTQ, the social justice warrior Jesus. Is there anything like that on the set? Well, look over here. See that? As they're filming The Chosen, their filmmaker is flying a little, but albeit real, LGBTQ flag as he's filming. They're okay with that, promoting the LGBTQ. In this one, well, this is a picture here of a meme. Jesus is pointing out the flag. And when people have called out on this to boycott this show on account of that, one of the disciples said, I think it was the one that said, Judas, fitting kind of, he says, "Y'all have fun with that. Happy Pride Month, y'all." That's one of the actors. The other one says, "Get out of here with your homophobia and hate," and gives a pride flag and a strong arm. And one of the other disciples says, "You can close the door on your way out." So that's true. You can look them all up. And so do you want that, Jesus, into your heart? Okay, a couple more. They use the devil in their advertising. I won't get into this big, but you can watch their commercials. They actually have the devil in hell saying, "We need to decide how to stop people from watching The Chosen because it's saving so many people." Would you use the devil in your advertising for your church, friends? I mean, the archangel Michael wouldn't even dispute with the devil about the body of Moses, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Yet these guys, they're willing to use the devil in their advertising. They deface their own billboards across the country, trying to make it look like they're getting attacked for being Christian, when in fact they're attacking their own billboards, friends, in order to entice, manipulate, and get you to watch the show, to make it look interesting. And Jonathan Rumi, who plays Jesus, good-looking guy, right? Great picture. Kind of winsome. Charismatic, I get it. I kind of like some of the things, as at least outwardly appearing. But what's he after here? In the Halo app, which he promotes, he says, "Come over here and pray with me. Pray with Jesus on the Halo app." What is the Halo app? Friends, in the Halo app is Catholic. They say, "Come back to the Catholic Church. Come back to the Pope." The Pope, who also condemns the gospel which I preach every week, justification by faith alone. We won't get into all those things for the sake of time, but ask me later. He's calling you back to the Catholic Church. So, should we watch The Chosen? I mean, these are all just facts I've shared so far. I would say there's danger, danger, danger. Be careful what you let into your eyes, friends. Let's be careful what we let into our ears, because all these things do actually really affect us. It was the same thing in the ancient times. In the letter to the Corinth, Paul says, I'm afraid, friends. I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts too will be led away from a sincere, pure and sincere devotion to Christ. For if someone comes and preaches another Jesus to you than the one we presented, or if someone gives you, you might receive a different spirit, or you hear a different gospel from the one which you received, he says, you're all too willing to listen, Corinthians. So I'm not condemning anybody here. I watch the show too. We can watch and evaluate it, fine. But let's be careful what we let into our hearts, friends. This is a deception. I was in Cape Cod getting an Uber ride to the truck stop. I met a guy who said, I had a life of sin. I came to Christ. My life was amazing. I'm reading the Bible every day. And he says, but then I started watching The Chosen. And he says, that is so amazing. I'm drawn in. It's great. And I've stopped reading my Bible. I wish I knew a couple of months ago what I know now. I would have given him a different message, because you know what? I just didn't know at the time. But what you let into your eyes, you're not going to be able to get out very easily. You're going to read the Bible every time after you watch the show and say, oh, John the Baptist, he's the guy that jumps out from behind the bush. Or Jesus, he says, I'm the law of Moses. Or Simon Peter, he's a gambler and a drunkard. No, no, those are not true things. Don't let those in. That's not the truth. The Chosen, I believe, drawing to the conclusion here, it really is a different Jesus. Yeah, he's likable. He's charismatic. He's kind. He's forgiving. He does confront the Pharisees, but he doesn't really confront sin very much. He doesn't call to repentance. He's not preaching up the wrath of God, the day of the judgment to come, the thunder and lightning of the Lord, or salvation only through faith in him. He's just kind of a nice guy. He's so nice, actually, that he's gone on The Chosen. On the View. You ever seen that show, The Liberal View, with all those liberal women? And they love this Jesus. Whoopi Goldberg herself, who's very, very, very liberal and against Christ as we know him, she says, I really like you. I get along with you. The Jesus of the Bible, no, no, no. But you, wow, I really love you as Jesus. I relate to you. That would be a red flag, a red herring, I don't know, whatever you want to call it. That's troublesome there. So the point today is, I just want to say, I'm not condemning anybody. I've watched the show, you've watched the show, all fine, dandy, we're evaluating things, but let's just stick with the Jesus of the Bible. The scriptures, this is what the Holy Spirit gave us, the truth. He's going to present to you the real Jesus, and he is so much more, far better, and he is knowable and relatable, like unlike anything that man can create. He got tired, he got hungry, fought against the devil. He knows your weaknesses, yet he never sinned. He gave his life for your sins on the cross. He rose again. He created you. He knows everything about you, every hair on your head. He's taking care of you. He wants to know you. You can know him. And he wants to give you eternal life in his kingdom. This is the Jesus we've got to stick with, friends, to the end of time in this great war that we are fighting. The Jesus who really loves you. And know that he's coming again, friends, soon, as king, on the clouds of heaven to bring us the kingdom. Know me, this is eternal life, he says, and my Father, and I give you eternal life as a free gift through salvation, through faith in me. Who? In the real Christ, the authentic Christ, the Jesus of the scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called Should Christians Watch The Chosen? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lucier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Thanks for tuning in and have a wonderful week. In our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.